And coming up next, we've got a guest who we have heard a lot from over the years, over the decades, in fact. He's an Academy Award-winning composer. He's also from the Jersey Shores. We'll introduce you to him in just a minute, but why don't I play something that I'm sure you will recognize? Now, this song was a major hit. We're going to play the hit version, part of it anyway, and then we're going to give you his version, which is the demo that he cut to get this hit version made. Kind of an interesting story, a very interesting man, and he'll be joining us in just a minute. But let's refresh your memory with this classic song, made famous in Dirty Dancing.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
I've been waiting for so long, now I finally found someone to stand by me.
All right. So like I said, you're going to recognize that song, and because everybody knew that song, everyone danced to that song, and this is the demo. This is the original featuring Mr. Frankie Previte, the artist you're going to hear in a moment. Check it out.
Yes, I swear it's the truth, and I owe it all to you.
Yes, I had the time of my life, and I owe.
I've had the time of my life. That was the hit version into the demo version. And the lead vocal on that is Frankie Previte. He is my guest. Now, he's not only the singer on that demo, he is also the songwriter behind that and many other hits. As I mentioned in the beginning, he's an Academy Award-winning composer. He's from the Jersey Shores. And Frankie, welcome to the program.
Tom, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's wild. That song seems so contemporary right now. And yet it was so long ago. You've been in the business a long time. You've seen a lot of changes. How have you adapted to those changes? I know we're talking today, so you got some new projects to talk about. But what's the evolution been like for you?
Evolution has been great. I mean, the song Time of My Life kind of put me on the map as a songwriter more than an artist. I was in Frankie and the Knockouts back in the 80s, had several hit records. But when you write a song like Time of My Life that kind of changes your life because you win an Academy Award and a Golden Globe. So are things that happen are beyond my dream that happened to me. So being a songwriter was my destiny. I continue to do that today.
I remember Frankie and the Knockouts. You guys had about four or five albums out. I remember spinning Sweetheart was a big single for you guys.
Yeah.
Was that the second or the first album?
I was off the first album.
Off the first?
Self-titled Frankie and the Knockouts back in 81. And it was the last song I wrote for the record. And when I brought it into Jimmy Einer, who was the president of Millennium Records back then, he looked at me and said, you know what, it could be a hit song, but you're a rock and roll band, and this is a pop song. You sure you want to put that bullet in the gun? And I said, let's load it, and we'll deal with it later.
So Millennium Records was the label, and they were distributed, as I remember, by RCA or A&M, one of those labels.
RCA.
Does Frankie and the Knockouts still do any performing anymore? Is that a part of your past, or is that still part of your current repertoire?
You know, you never say never with having a band that, you know, you've had hit records with. I still stay in touch with a lot of those members. In fact, the drummer from that band, Tico Torres, is now the drummer and has been for many years with Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, so, right.
Yeah, so we stay friends. You know, musicians have this connection that, you know, you kind of went through the battles together, so you stay together as friends. And so Frankie and the Knockouts is a great memory. It's the first hit I've ever had, so, you know, it's like your first child. It becomes special to you.
Right. Right. Any thought of reissuing some of that stuff? I mean, when now with vinyl back, I own two record stores, and we're seeing all these great older artists that had hits back in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and they're finally reissuing stuff on vinyl. You guys were during the vinyl era, but it's hard to find your albums now.
Well, if you really want to, you know, talk about that, the whole collection, the Frankie and the Knockout collection, was re-released probably about 4 or 5 months ago on Friday Music. And Joe Ragozzo was the guy that called me to do that. And I said, you know what, it'd be neat to do it because the third record, Making the Point, really never got heard. You know, Jimmy closed his label, sold us to MCA. MCA dropped the ball. Tico went with Bon Jovi. And, you know, for the next 2 years, I was back at the, you know, trying to write songs to get another record deal. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said to Joe, listen, I'll do that if I can also put on some live Frankie and the Knockout tracks so people know that, you know, even though Sweetheart kind of pegged us as a pop band, we were a rock and roll band at heart. And, you know, so he said, yeah, let's do that. And I said, then I've got a whole trilogy of songs that started back in the 70s when I was with Bull Angus, which was more of a riff rock and roll band that toured with Rod Stewart and Deep Purple and Fleetwood Mac. And so I said, let me put some of those demos through the years. And I became an R&B singer on Buddha Records. And I said, so I have all these demos, these songs that nobody's ever heard. So there's like 11 unreleased songs on that record. So it's Frankie and the Knockouts, the complete collection, and it's out now.
Wow, who's distributing that? Because I would like to get a hold of that.
I believe, let me say, CBS, that was the last thing. You know, I know Joe was with Warner, but I think he moved over to CBS.
Okay. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of these great artists that a lot of the newer generation don't even realize were out there and had all these songs. Sometimes you recognize the hits, but you don't know the artist. And I think it's been refreshing that vinyl is coming back as it is. Are you a vinyl fan?
I have tons of vinyl records, you know, from the Beatles' White Album, you know, to Hendrix records and things that, you know, are part of your collection, are part of your history, growing up, your musical history, and things that, you know, motivated you to become who you are. I'm, you know, my favorite band back in the day, back in the 60s, was the Rascals, because, you know, that was Blue Eyed Soul. That was, you know, I was all about that. So I have one of their original albums with all of their signatures on it because I became friends with some of them.
I just had a chance to MC for Felix when he was here. Felix Cavallari was here.
Oh, yeah.
What a character he is.
He is a character. I've written songs with Felix, but he's still got it, you know.
Yeah, he's still got the sound. He still plays well. He sings well. He was here to do a charity show for hospice, and we got to talking. And what a genuine guy he is. I love that. And, you know, I think that's something. I don't mean to be geographically snobby, but I think that's something about the East Coast. Most of the New York and New Jersey rockers that I know are really down-to-earth blue-collar guys. I mean, Willie Nile and I have been friends for a number of years since his first album on Arista. And every time he comes to town, you get a phone call. It's like, hey, how you doing? I recently got to know Joe Grushecki all over again. Used to book him back in the day when I had a nightclub out here with the Iron City House Rockers. And we reconnected through Randy. And it was like, you know, such a nice guy. And Southside Johnny, all those guys. And now yourself. Now I have another friend from the East Coast here.
There we go.
Let's talk a little bit about your career, and then we're going to talk about One World, which is why we're really here to talk today.
Okay.
What got you into music? I mean, how did you come to be this guy that is an award winner and is still on the radio and is still putting albums out?
You know, it's part of my acceptance speech at the Academy Awards was my mom and dad take voice lessons from the same vocal coach, so I said at that point, I ended my speech with, and I'd like to thank my parents for the best duet of all. And so it was innate in my, you know, in me through my genetic pool. My father was singing all the time, opera. And I was always fighting those, you know, Italian notes, I call them, those big opera notes, because I was hearing them constantly in the house. And I guess that's part of, you know, my growing up and being in, impressed by my dad being an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those things, you know, live in you. And then, you know, my father had me singing when I was 11 years old to raise money for cerebral palsy at different charities and then entering me into these contests. And, you know, here's an 11-year-old kid singing Be My Love by Mario Lanza.
Wow.
You know, so, yeah. So it was, you know. But, you know, as you grow up and you start to get these adulations from people in the audience and they're clapping for something you do, part of building your confidence and becoming who you are is through that performing and having your parents pushing you, not pushing you, but guiding you.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, you have a really great voice. Keep singing. You know, don't quit. You're too good, you know, and always, you know, supporting me. So that's why I said thank you to my parents at the Academy Awards, because when Bull Angus broke up back in the late 70s, I had no place to go. And they said, take the apartment downstairs. They owned a two-family home. And here's $25 a week for voice lessons and come upstairs and have dinner every night. Do not quit. And so I sold cars out of my driveway, whatever I could do to not have to, you know, be in a cover band so I could continue to write songs and try to get that evasive record deal.
Mm-hmm. And you finally did, eventually, as we mentioned, with Frankie and the Knockouts on Millennium, distributed by RCA. Several albums were out on that, and you're reissuing them now, or recently reissued them. Are you doing new recordings? We're going to, again, get to One World, which is an older song that is newly redone. But are you doing a new Frankie album, a solo album, another band project, anything at this point that is coming out or recently out?
Well, you know, again, the Frankie and the Knockouts complete collection has 11 songs on there that are my favorite demos that never made it.
Okay.
And so I kind of have some songs, new songs out if people want to hear, you know, things from me that I wrote in the 70s on up to the current day. You know, people that I wrote with were Mark Rivera from Billy Joel's band and Chasm Sultan from Todd Rundgren's band. These are all my friends that, you know, we write together and we form these like little jam sessions and you know, we just try to bang out songs. So there's drawers full of songs that I've written with, you know, friends and you know, some are celebrities. Dave Mason, written a bunch of songs with Dave through the years. So, I mean, yeah, I feel that this complete collection has kind of my little trilogy of who I am as a as an artist and where I started and through the Academy Awards and where I am today.
Is there one artist that you feel you jive the best with as a co-writer? Because you get certain artists, you know, obviously Lennon, McCartney, Bernie Taupin, Elton John. There are some that just have this natural companionship, this natural chemistry. Are there certain artists that you feel really you're on the same plane with, same chemistry?
Well, you know, obviously you'd like to write with everybody and anybody that you could. I've written songs with Cyndi Lauper, and I've written songs for Fleetwood Mac and Earth, Wind, and Fire. So there's a pretty wide scope there of different genres. So me as a songwriter, if I feel it, I write it. You know, if I'm not feeling the music, you know, then I don't really complete the song, because it has to be a seed that grows in me that pushes me to finish a song. So there's a lot of different artists I would love to send. You know, I'd love to write a song with them. I mean, I think Hall & Oates is in a great pocket. You know, they're kind of that R&B pocket. But so is Aerosmith. I love Steven Tyler's voice. You know, I think he's one of the great American rock and roll bands, Aerosmith. So I have this wide, vast variety. Stevie Wonder is like unbelievable to me. So these are voices that I gravitate to, as well as songs.
You mentioned Mark Rivera. I remember seeing him. I met him at Park West back when he was with Tycoon, which I believe is another East Coast
band. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Great talents that have moved on. And again, listeners, some of the bands we're mentioning, these are all bands that were the base, the launching pad, if you will, for so many great talents that are out there. So if you get a chance to experiment and delve in with this new world of Pandora and all these online services, just look up some of these names and give them a listen. You might discover some really interesting stuff. And what they say, what's old is new. That brings us to our new topic for this show here. One World is a song that is fresh. It's brand new. But it's also very old. You wrote this during, I want to say, the end of the Cold War?
Yeah, during Glasnost, a gentleman named Alan Roy Scott was putting together a summit, songwriting summit. And he got BMI, and he also went to Columbia Records to back him. And so right after I won the Academy Award, he came to me and said, listen, I'm putting 25 songwriters together. I'd like you to join us on this songwriting summit to go to Moscow and write with, you know, 25 Russian counterparts with interpreters. And it was the first time ever that there was this type of summit that Russia, because of the Glasnost period, would allow. And so I was very, very honored to be with Mike Stoller and Barry Mann and Cyndi Lauper and Desmond Child and Diane Warren, and 25 of us, you know, went there. And we wrote in 9 days 50 songs. And so we had to pick who we wanted to write with. And so you drew a name out of a hat, and I happened to pick Sergei Manoukian, who was a blind Estonian who thought he was Ray Charles. I mean, he sat down at the piano and Ray Charles came out of the sky.
Wow.
And so everybody in the room was like, we want to write with him. And I was the lucky one who picked his name. And along with Pamela Philip Olin, who was the other American songwriter who's written so many great songs for Frank Sinatra and Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin. The list goes on with her. She was the other American writing partner. And then Mick Targa was the writing partner of Sergei Manoukian. And the four of us, you know, sat there, and the experience of writing One World was about the two worlds coming together on a peaceful mission, and realizing that the common denominator was music. Our language didn't get in the way. The music drove us to be able to, you know, melody and chord changes were universal language. And then through interpreters, we were able to write the lyrics together. So when we got back from this summit, Columbia picked 10 songs out of the 50. And One World was picked. And Earth, Wind, and Fire recorded it back in 1989. And just so happens that Columbia was going through some power struggles, and they decided that the new regime said, well, that's the old regime's project, and, you know, we're not really behind it. like the old regime was. So we're going to kind of put it out, but we're going to shelve it.
Wow.
So One World never really got heard. And I'm telling you, there's some awesome songs from Barry Mann and Mike Stoller and all these great, Diane Warren and people that are on, the, you know, Roberta Flack and Cindy sang and Michael Bolton sang on it. So there's tons of great artists, lots of great songs. And I was lucky to have Earth, Wind & Fire cut it. And recently I've been doing these types of interviews. And one of the questions to me was, How are you going to make it through? How are these American songwriters going to make it to the other side of normal?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's not only American songwriters. The whole world is in this. We are now officially one world. And this light bulb went off in my head. And I realized that here we are, and I have a song that possibly can help some of my friends that are out of work, musicians, actors. And then I started thinking, let's broaden that. And what is our future but children? So the First Responders Children Foundation became part of that charity. And then, you know, with the social injustice that was happening in America, we thought the right move was to add a charity that, you know, represented social justice. So the NAACP became the fourth charity for us. And you know, we have the song out. If you want to donate to those charities and you want to get behind our cause, it's oneworldoursong.com. And as soon as you take and put a dollar or whatever you can afford to one of these charities, you get a free download. And okay. So we are giving the song away to help these charities. And we're hoping that the spark of music can heal our world, our America, and bring us to the other side of normal.
So you get to choose which of the four charities you want to support, or you can you delegate to support all of them? Say, make a $10 donation, say $2.50 to each one. I mean, do you have that option?
Yeah, well, you know, you take $2.50 and give it to one, and then $2.50 to another. Every time you do it, you'll get a download.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, it's the Musicians Foundation, the Actors Fund, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and First Responders Children's Foundation. Quite a plethora of options there, all very worthy. And all of the songwriters, I understand, came back together and came up with the new lyrics, so to speak, for The One World. So the one you may hear from Earth, Wind, and Fire is not the version you're going to hear. It's similar, but it's different, correct?
It is, because, you know, we looked at, there was no pandemic back then.
Right.
That, you know, there was social injustice going on, but not to the level of how we're seeing it today. And so when we sat down, I said to Pamela, let's rewrite the second verse and let it cross the fence. Let it be on the fence that leans toward the pandemic, but it also can lean toward social injustice. So, you know, this day will pass. Hang on, my friend. I know we long to dream again. So in saying those words, I know we long to dream again. You and I dream, our dream is a much different dream than some other people on social injustice. Ours is to, let's go to our families and go out together to a restaurant or maybe go see a band at a theater. Whereas I long to dream again is Martin Luther King saying, I had a dream. And so when you say those words, you cross the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully those words, and it ends up in the song that we're all together and we got to do this together. So it's becoming a charitable anthem, so to speak, around the country. And lots of radio stations are now jumping on it. I believe that next week will be number 45 on the AC chart. So it's starting to have its own life and pick up momentum because of the cause that we're trying to get behind.
Now, was Sergey and Mick involved in this as well, in the rewrite?
Not the rewrite, but they totally are behind us. You know, even to the point of sync licenses. Now, a sync license means you take my music or our music and we synchronize it to a company's brand, we'll say United Airlines. And I told each and every charity, the charity that comes up with a major brand, a corporation that wants to be sponsored and use this song, I will donate. We will donate the sync license, and that could be anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000 a year. For, you know, sometimes these brands use the song for 5 and 10 years. I know that Sandals has used Time of My Life for 19 years. So it is the gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. You know, for a charity that is looking to constantly have revenue coming in, no better way than to have the song connected to a major corporation that wants to use it to brand, you know, their brand to take, you know, it's a feel-good song. So most people want to feel good and realize that it's going to be okay. You know, the world's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We can do it together.
It's pretty amazing that you guys would all gather together and say, you know what, we're gonna waive the royalties. We're going to waive making money in us and give it to the causes we believe in, and we hope you'll believe in it as well. There's right. a lot of talent, not just the songwriting, but the performing. And before we play the song for the listeners, I who's singing, who's playing? These are all big, big talented performers, session players and the such. Are there any household names? And if not, then let's go down the rabbit hole here and talk about some of these talented people that are on this performance that we're going to hear.
Sure. Well, you know, when I called Pamela and I said, let's do this project together, and she was all in. You know, as soon as I said to her what I want to do, she goes, I'm in, and I got the guy to help us, John Gillotin, and he's the writer of a song called New Attitude from Patti LaBelle. Mm-hmm. And he was also musical director for, you know, Linda Ronstadt and a couple of other national groups. And he has a recording studio, and he's a keyboard player. So I spoke to John, and John said, let me put a track together. I said, you're going to need to throw some vocals on it because I'm going to go out and try to get major stars to sing on it, like a We Are the World. And in the meantime, he goes and asks Michael Mayo. And Michael Mayo sings with Herbie Hancock. And so he sends me, he goes, here's a rough track and a reference vocal. And I said, well, who the hell's singing it? He goes, oh, that's Michael Mayo. He's a young guy who sings with Herbie Hancock. I said, he's incredible. He goes, yeah. Let me finish. And then he goes and gets Renee Martin, who's, you know, sang with Burt Bacharach and David Foster and all these people. And then she does the second half of the first verse. Then the guy who did the original demo when we came back to America so Columbia could hear it, his name was Ellis Hall. And Ellis Hall is a blind man that was the lead singer for Tower of Power, if you remember that group from back
yes.
in the day. And it's just like, this is like listening to Stevie Wonder. And so Ellis Hall comes in and sings the second verse. And then Duran Holly comes in. And Duran did tours with Michael Jackson and just tons of people. And now all these people... we're like, this is really great, but we need one more voice to come in on the bridge. And he goes, I've got this girl named Judith Glory Hill. She was in a movie called 20 Feet from Stardom. She was a finalist on The Voice, and she's a Grammy Award winner. And I said, bring her in. Let her sing. And so she came in and sang the bridge and then the outro of the song and just took it to another level. And I was like, you know, forget about me going out to ask all these stars. Mm-hmm. I said, these are the unsung heroes that are doing it pro bono to help their brother, to help their fellow musician, to help these actors, to help these children. You know, to me, they're the unsung heroes of One World. And so we call them Voices for One World. They are the Voices for One World.
So these are talents that that we have heard on so many other albums and records and perhaps on tour, similar to the 20 Feet from Stardom, similar to all those famous background folks and session players
yeah.
that we've enjoyed on so many albums but never really know their name. And they're getting a
Correct.
Chance to shine, not just for themselves but for so many others. It was a brilliant move, Frankie. Obviously you're gonna get a lot more bang maybe with some big names, marquee names, but the fact that we are hearing the cream of the crop, the ones that make the big names sound so good, is really pretty unique. I mean, I love the idea, the concept behind this.
Well, you know, they are really the backbone of the music industry that made today's and yesterday's stars who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the backbone. They're the ones behind the scenes. And but without them, I mean, they may not be what you consider, you know, the A-team stars. But if you stuck them 20 feet, you know, to the front of the stage and they sang, you couldn't really tell too much of the difference who the star is.
Right. So this recording, and we're going to play it here in just a second, this recording we're going to hear is all brand new, newly recorded, new talent, new everything, new lyrics. There's nothing left over from the 1989-90 version.
No, but you know what's the cool thing about this is that there was a guy that produced Frankie's and the Knockouts' third record, Bill Schnee. And I said to John Gilligan, you know, possibly if I could get Bill Schnee to mix this, would you take your hands and, you know, let him do that? And he goes, you know Bill Schnee? And I said, yeah. And he goes, if you can get Bill Schnee in a heartbeat, he goes, one of the top five mixers, producers in the world. So I called up Bill and he said, send me the files. And I said, John, send him the files. He goes, I'll send him the files, but trust me when I tell you, there's about 100 to 150 files because everybody recorded their parts in their living room, in their bedroom, in their basement. Even the drums were played and files were sent. And he goes, I'm in the weeds on this thing and I have a hard time mixing it. He goes, I don't see how he's going to figure this out, but I'll send him the files, Frankie. In 2 days, Bill finished mixing it. So when you play it, just realize this is maybe 150 tracks mixed in 2 days by somebody that never heard the song before.
Wow. Well, let's play it now. Jose is here in the studio ready to play it. This is the new version of One World. And again, you can go online. If you're enjoying this song, and I know you will, go to oneworldoursong.com. You can download it for yourself, and you'll be helping one of four different charities or all the charities if you're so inclined. So give it a listen and go online and order it for yourself and make a difference in the world. And we'll be back with Frankie right after this.
Someone like you, someone like me, dreaming a dream of what could be. Do we believe, or maybe we do? It all comes down to me and you. No matter who we are, there's only one word.
Four voices, one world. It all comes down to me and you, no matter who we are. And one of the strongest verses in there that hit me is the bridge where it says, we speak in different words, we live our lives, our separate lives, yet every morning we watch the same sunrise. When you put it in that perspective, that we are all here on this little round pile of earth, looking at the same sun, looking at the same stars, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, is that common bond. It makes us all equal. It's a great equalizer.
Absolutely is. And, you know, that's our connector, is when you look up at the stars, you know, that there isn't a different moon for everybody. There isn't a different sun for everybody. We all live, you know, in that world where that sun rises, and maybe at a different time, but it's connecting us to each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, Frankie, is there a video that's being marketed for this as well?
Yeah, once you go onto the website, you'll see the video. And I think watching the video, hearing the song, and seeing the diversity that is being portrayed in the video of how people from, you know, all around the world are being represented. And it kind of connects everything. It connects the dots. It starts with us being separated by this pandemic. And how and what we go through with, you know, stadiums being closed, theaters being closed, and then watching the same sunrise coming up, and there's realizing that there is a other side of this that we're going to come out on, and then it comes out of that last modulated chorus with hands coming back together, and people playing soccer again, and you know, people going to theaters and watching concerts, and we're coming back together, and we did this by staying together, and mm-hmm. that's how we're going to get to the other side of normal.
There are so many musicians right now, whether you're a local player or one of the big stadium packers, we're all on the same level now too. I've heard so many musicians talk. It's like, you know, the more famous, the more wealthy ones, at least they have a little bankroll to live on. And whereas the troubadours and the buskers, they have to go out and play every day to put bread on their table. But in the same realm, we're all in the same boat, because if this lasts indefinitely, even the big stars are going to be feeling it the way the local guys are. And it kind of levelizes that too. And I think we're seeing a lot of that on the internet with the streaming concerts, streaming performances. Are you doing anything outside of One World? Are you doing anything as a singer, songwriter, creator to do that style of thing, to bring music, keep it alive, even if it is virtual?
Yeah, there's several different people that have called me, like the Monmouth University, and they had the Shore area musicians come together. It was about 10 or so musicians, and they just said, you know, let's do it from your home. And, you know, some people did it acoustically. I had a little rough track of Time of My Life, and I sang it with Lisa Sherman. She did the female part of Time of My Life, and we just stand in front of our iPad and sing and, you know, send the file in. And they did like a little virtual concert, a free concert. And they said, you know, once all this, you know, heals and we're all back to normal, whatever that is, mm-hmm. you know, we'll do a concert with all of you, and we'll bring you all in, and we'll be able to pay you. And, you know, I think it's important that a musician keeps his brand alive and does these. We have tools now that we can, you know, keep virtually alive and play your music and have people see you. So, you know, when you can get out and start to play again, you don't have to start from scratch. You know, people haven't forgotten about you because you haven't forgotten about them.
Right. You know, something else that I did want to touch on, and we had played in the beginning of the show, I believe you were on the phone when we were doing it, your demo version of I've Had the Time of My Life. And as I understand it, you have that available, or a version of that, and maybe it's the one with Lisa you were talking about, where you can download that, and that helps in Patrick Swayze's memory, pancreatic cancer action. Is that true?
Yeah, there's many, many years ago, and I've been doing this like 25, 26 years now. I started thinking, because I met Patrick Swayze at the Academy Awards, and I realized how much the song meant to him. and how it changed the whole perspective of the camaraderie of the actors, because they didn't really have a song. Mm-hmm. And they were getting ready to film out a sequence, the last scene first, and he said, yours was the 150th cassette, the last cassette, and we played it, and we all looked at each other and said, we're making the movie to that song. So when they did that, he said that the ending was so tremendous, they said, let's go make a movie. So knowing all of that, I started thinking, well, what can I do with these demos? You know, Hungry Eyes, Time of My Life. And so I researched where Lisa Swayze was, like, donating her time and her efforts, and I found out it was the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. So I did a cold call, and I happened to get the CEO who answered the phone. And I said, you know, Pamela, this is Frankie Previtt. And she goes, oh, my God, this is great. What do you want to do? And I said, I want to put out the demos, and I want to, you know, put a Facebook page up called Dirty Dancing Demos, and I want to sell them. And whatever money I make from it, I'm going to give to you. And so for the past 25 years, I probably raised close to $25,000-$30,000 for pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
Selling those demos. It's like a little piece of history because it's the actual song music that Patrick and Jennifer danced to.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Hungry Eyes, too. Are you doing something with that as well? I know you wrote it, but are you doing something similar?
What's happening is John DiNicola, the co-writer of Time of My Life and Hungry Eyes, decided that, you know, he not being a singer but being a songwriter, wanted to put out the best songs that he felt he ever wrote. So he picked 10, and four of them were songs that we happen to have written together. And he did a version of Hungry Eyes. John, this is really, I didn't know you could sing this well, number one. and the version of that you did is pretty cool. So John, about maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, released Hungry Eyes, and it's like number 24 on the AC chart. So now I have that song with John, and then I have One World that's, you know, number 45. And so who would have thought that, you know, 33 years later, I'd have two songs in the chart. But I'll
wow.
take it.
Yeah. You bet you will. And the thing is that they're helping people. And I think that's even more gratifying sometimes than getting an award or seeing the numbers climb, although those are very rewarding, not downplaying that. But to know that something you created even so long ago is still making an impact on people that weren't even born when that movie came out, when you sat down and wrote those songs, including One World.
You know, you could say that, and I always say this, if Yesterday by the Beatles came out today, it would be a hit record. Why? Because it's a great song. And I think good songs live, you know, in the hearts of people, the melodicness, the simplicity of the song, and how they connected to it, where they were at the time when it was a hit. All those memories come back to people, and it, you know, regenerates in another version. So, you know, putting out songs that were hits that, you know, are no-brainers because you already know there's an audience for them. But mm-hmm. a new rendition by the songwriter, I think it's kind of cool of John to do that. I wanted to say that there's other ways that people can help. And, you know, streaming the song through Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, all of those dollars that we get from that will be donated to the charity.
Wow. That is so remarkable. Thank you for doing that and for being such a good guy.
Well, thank you for letting me have my voice to tell people what's happening, because unless you promote something, nothing happens.
Right, right. Now, we can keep up with you again. It's Dirty Dancing Demos on Facebook. And you have your own Facebook page, Frankie Previtt, and it's Frankie, no I, with an E in the end.
Right.
Is there a website as well for any of your projects?
Yeah, well, oneworldoursong.com, that's the website to go to. That's
okay.
going to tell you everything you know need to know about every one of those musicians, singers, and there's some great musicians from Toto, you know, from people that are major musicians that are playing on this, Ambrosia, just a bunch. And then it also gives you the history of how the song was written and the charities and a history about each charity, because it's so important that, you know, especially the children's charity, these are first responders that maybe passed away during the pandemic or can't afford to help their children go to school or eat.
Right.
And that's what the first responders is all about, helping those children in a bad time.
I've got one more question, and then we're going to play that song again so those that maybe were not paying full attention while they were driving can focus again on this amazing new version of One World. And that is, Frankie, obviously you had great success writing for Dirty Dancing. Are you, or in the near future, I know everything's kind of on hold with Hollywood and everywhere else, but are you at any point working on any new soundtrack stuff?
Not new soundtrack stuff, more so than through the years, I've put together a show called The Unforgettables, and it's a little bit of a hybrid of a play that runs into a concert in the second act.
Mm.
And it's about four girls, all in different areas of jazz or R&B to pop to country, and they all compete against each other. And at the end of the day, the guy that has to pick the winner can't decide who he likes better, so he makes them a group called the Unforgettables. So I've been working on that. In fact, we were booked at some really great gigs, and then the pandemic kind of like stopped the world.
Right.
You're gonna get off here, and when we'll tell you when to get back on. So that project's on hold probably until 2021.
Okay, and when that comes back on the road or whatever, are you going to bring it to Chicagoland? Is it something we can look forward to seeing?
Well, I would love to say yes, but that's kind of up to the booking agent, the theaters, and the momentum that we can build from doing the show. We've done it in theaters in New York and in Philadelphia. We did it at Monmouth College. We were booked at the Mohican Sun, and we were supposed to do it there. But, things happen, you just have to wait this out, stay safe, stay, not quarantined, but, stay in, stay
right.
Protected, wear your mask, and we'll get through this.
Get through it. Social
get
through it together.
Yourself. And we can do this together. We can get to the other side. It'll be a little different than this side, but maybe that'll be something that, took us outside of our normal box and created something new for us.
And it added a little touch of humility and humbleness to us, realizing we're not all
in a
bag of chips. We have to rely on each other. We have to rely on a greater power to get us through things. And with that,
absolutely.
We're going to play this amazing song once again. Please, if you enjoy it, and I know you will, OneWorldOurSong.com. You'll find the video. You'll find links to the charities it helps. And you'll be able to enjoy the song indefinitely because you'll be able to download it. So my guest has been Frankie Previte of Frankie and the Knockouts, the creator of The Unforgettables, and songwriter extraordinaire of so many songs, including this one, co-writer on One World. Frankie, thank you for joining us.
Tom, thank you for having me.
All right, here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Chef Nick coming up in just a minute, but right now, One World, let's bring it together.
Someone like you, someone like me, dreaming a dream of what could be. Do we believe, or maybe we do? It all comes down to me and you. No matter who we are, there's only one world, one love to share. This day will pass, hang on my friend, I know you long to dream again, just take